You're listening to Easter at Elevate Church. For more information about Elevate Church, please visit us online at www.elevatechurch.ms.
How are we doing, Elevate? We doing good? Yeah. Are you excited to be here today? Yeah. Tell the person sitting next to you they really ought to be excited. Tell them. They get to see your beautiful face. Amen, amen. Hey, if you don't know me, my name is Robert Andrews. I'm one of the pastors here, and I am so glad that you are joining us today. It is Easter Sunday. It's an exciting day for the church all around the world. We are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and it gets me excited. So even though Jesus really is the primary focus, though, of Easter, I kind of like the Easter Bunny a little bit, too. Anybody, you like the Easter Bunny out there? You like the Easter Bunny? Yeah, here comes Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hoppity, Easter's on its way. Y'all remember that song? Yeah, I love me some Easter. I love that Easter candy. Love the Easter Bunny. And my kids, they like the Easter Bunny, too, but they haven't always really liked the Easter Bunny. I remember years ago, Brianna Grace, she's my oldest child. She lost her first tooth. And everybody knows after you lose your first tooth, what do? You put it under the pillow so the tooth fairy comes to see you and brings you 50 cents, 25 cents, something like that. It's gone up a little bit now, I think, because the dollar has changed, the dollar value. But anyway, so I remember Brianna Grace, she lost her tooth. She was so excited, man. The tooth fairy's coming to see me. The tooth fairy's coming to see me. The tooth fairy's coming to see me. And so Sadie Kate and Brianna Grace, they share a room. They sleep in the same room. And so Sadie Kate, she's excited, you know, because Brianna's excited. She's excited because her sister is excited. Tooth fairy's coming. The tooth fairy's coming. And then there's this moment where Sadie Kate's like, wait. What is the tooth fairy, you know? And so Amanda explains what the tooth fairy is to Sadie Kate and what the tooth fairy does. And it scared Sadie Kate to death. You know what I mean? And really, if you think about it, it's a scary kind of thing. You know, they can make a horror movie out of the tooth fairy. You know what I mean? The tooth fairy sneaks into your room. Watches you sleep. When you're just falling asleep and you can't look around, snatches your tooth. That's a scary movie, right? I mean, that really could be. So Sadie Kate was like, man, I don't want the tooth fairy coming in here and scaring me. And so that night, Sadie Kate, she slept in the bed with Amanda and myself. And so we didn't really get much sleep. But again, Brianna Grace, she was excited. Tooth fairy's coming. And so I remember that same year, later on, it was Easter. And so the Easter bunny is coming to the house to see everybody. And so everybody's excited. Sadie Kate, everybody at her school, they've been saying, the Easter bunny's coming, Easter bunny's coming, Easter bunny's coming. And so we told Sadie Kate, you got to go to bed so the Easter bunny can come and see you. You know what I mean? And so we could tell there was this moment where Sadie Kate kind of had this flashback to the tooth fairy, you know? And so she was like, man, I don't know if I want the Easter bunny coming in there and into my house while I'm asleep. And be honest, you know, I can understand why she'd be a little scared, because like we got a picture here of the Easter bunny, I think. Somebody got it up there maybe. Yeah, we got a picture of the Easter bunny. Maybe not, but that's okay. But I mean, if you like opened up your eyes, there he is right there. If you opened up your eyes in the middle of the night and you saw that in your room, how many of y'all know you're going to have to change the sheets the next day, right? Right. You would be scared. And so, again, Sadie Kate, she was petrified. That night, she slept with a cover up all over her nose and her eyes, barely sleep, and she couldn't sleep. She was worried. She was worried. And the truth of the matter is, there are times in your life, there are times in my life where we go through things that really worry us, where we go through things that kind of keep us up at night, where we just aren't really able to sleep. And maybe that's you today. Maybe today you are going through something that really has you upset, that really has you worried. Maybe you're having some relational issues in your marriage, and maybe things just don't seem to be good. Maybe at one time you guys were just so in love, but now things seem to be really messed up. Maybe your kids are getting into trouble. They keep choosing the wrong thing, and it's really worrying you as a parent. Maybe financially you're just not doing well. Maybe you have lost your job. You are worried. You are not able to sleep at night. I know in my own life, there are times when that happens. There are times where I get worried, and there are times when I get frustrated with things, and I wonder, why in the world is this happening to me? Why is this happening? Well, I want you to know that Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, proves to you and it proves to me that there's nothing that you and I can face in this world that really God can't help us out with. There's nothing in this world that our God can't conquer. I mean, he's got all power, which means he doesn't have some power or most power. He's got all power. God has power to bring death to life. And so maybe today that's what you are looking for. You are looking for life. You need some life to be spoken into your life. And I want you to see what Jesus says about himself in John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus says something interesting. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Everybody say resurrection. Everybody say life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And what's interesting about this particular verse here is that Jesus says this to a woman who has just lost her brother. Jesus says this to a woman who is really going through a very difficult time. And what I believe Jesus is saying to this woman in this verse here is that I am up to something big. I'm about to do something big. Look at the person sitting next to you and tell them God's about to do something big. Now tell the person on the other side, because they really need to hear it. You know what I mean? Now tell yourself, you know what? God is about to do something big. God is up to something big. But you need to know today, maybe you're here today and you hear that God's about to do something big and you think that can't be true. Because if God was going to do something big, I would be feeling that right now. If God was going to do something big, if he was up to something big, something would be changing. Well, today, I want to talk to you about how to experience change. And the way that we're going to do it is we're going to look at John chapter 11. We're going to look at the context of John chapter 11 where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And so we're going to pick up in verse 17 of John chapter 11. And it's a pretty extended passage of scripture. So bear with me as I read it all to you. But here's what the Bible says. It says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and I am the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And after she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he's asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. And now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had come with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Verse 35 says that Jesus wept. How many of y'all have trouble remembering verses of the Bible? You know, scripture. Come on, you know, man, I just can't seem to remember. Two words right here, okay? This is the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11, 35. Everybody say, Jesus wept. Man, you just quoted scripture. You quoted scripture. You can do it. You can memorize it. It says, then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead one, by this time there's a bad odor. There's a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Again, this is an amazing story in God's Word. This is an amazing story about change that comes to the life of a family, about change that comes to the life of an individual. And I want to talk to you today about how you and I can experience this type of radical change. I want to point out three things to you this morning. If you're keeping notes, you want to write them down. The first thing that I want you to see, if you want to experience change, real change in your life, you've got to trust God. You've got to trust God. Now, in this passage in John chapter 11, I don't know if you picked up on it or not, but there is some frustration there. There is some tension. And the reason why is because Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And Martha is thinking, Jesus, you knew all about this. Jesus, I had sent you text messages and I saw that you had read those text messages. It looked like you were going to respond. I mean, I saw the bubbles and everything on your phone and you did not respond. You did not come. You waited two extra days before you even decided to head this way, which really makes me wonder, Jesus, if you loved my brother so much, if you loved Lazarus so much, why in the world did you wait so long? Have you ever had some similar thoughts to that? Where you wonder, why in the world, God, are you waiting so long? Why in the world, God, is this taking forever? See, I know some people and they'll say, man, God, every time I call on God, he's there. And if that's you, that's great. But I know that there are some people here too, that when you call on God and he seems to wait and wait and wait. Has anybody ever had to wait on God, man? And you pray and you wait and you get other people praying with you and agreeing with you and asking God to intervene. And so after they have prayed, you're all excited. After they've agreed with you, you're excited. But then you have to wait and wait and wait. Has anybody here ever had to wait on God? I hope somebody knows what I'm talking about. It's like that at my house every day when I have to wait. I've got 3 kids and a wife. Anybody know what it's like to wait? You know what I'm saying, man? Every day it's the same routine. We're trying to get the kids ready. We're trying to get the kids ready. We just, in their shoes. Where are my shoes? I just put the shoes on your feet. What do you mean you don't know where they are? Where's your shirt? Put your shirt back on. That's Amanda. I'm telling her, it's time to go to work. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding. But again, it's like you've got to wait and wait and wait and wait. And sometimes, again, that's how it is with God. And we get so frustrated. Martha is frustrated. She had sent for Jesus. And so she's waiting on Jesus. She's waiting on Jesus. She's waiting on Jesus. And while she's waiting on Jesus, Lazarus, her brother, dies. He dies. And what's interesting is that the Jewish culture during this time, they didn't believe that the spirit, that your soul just went ahead and went to Father Abraham. They believed that your spirit and that your soul kind of lingered around for 3 days, that the spirit would go between the old body and the old house, and it was able to see all the people who were mourning over it so that they could see, wow, I was really loved. That's why families hired professional mourners to come to their house. They'd say, hey, we need you. They might have even had like an agency that set this up. You know what I mean? Hey, we got Bubba down here. He died. We need you to go to their house and just make a real big deal. Oh, we're so sad, Joe. He died. No, it's Bubba. Oh, Bubba, he's gone. He's dead. So they were just crying and crying and crying and weeping again. So the spirit would see how much they were loved, how much they were loved. And after 3 days, what would happen is the spirit, again, would go to Father Abraham. So in our story, in John chapter 11, Jesus is waiting. And it's almost as if he waits till the 4th day for a reason. What could that reason possibly be? Well, maybe it's because he wanted to wait until they were out of options. See, maybe had he showed up on the 2nd day, maybe the spirit of Lazarus would have been so overwhelmed by how many people were there weeping for him that the spirit just decided, you know what, I'm going to enter back into my body because these people can't live without me. So I'm going to go back. Maybe Jesus waited until the 3 days had passed so that no one could be confused with the fact that it wasn't Lazarus' spirit that did this, that it was Jesus himself. Because the truth of the matter is, sometimes when God shows up way too soon, we're pretty guilty of taking credit for what happens ourselves, right? Sometimes when God shows up a little too soon, we don't always take credit for it ourselves, but sometimes we might even give credit to other people. You know what I mean? But sometimes God says, you know what? I'm going to wait and wait and wait until they are out of options. I'm going to wait until their plan A fails, their plan B fails, their plan C fails, their plan Z, Z, whatever you want to say. All their plans fail. I'm going to wait until they don't have anybody else they can call and borrow money from. You know what I mean? So that I am their only option. And that's when God likes to show up. Why? Why does he do that? Because God wants to be our first and only option. And I know there have been times in my life where I've had to say, Jesus, if it wasn't for you showing up and changing things in my life, I don't know what I would have done. Has Jesus ever been your only option? Has he been the person that you had to call, the only one who could possibly help you through whatever it is that you were experiencing? I know that it's been like that in my own life. So Martha comes to Jesus, and you can tell she's frustrated. Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She's blaming Jesus for her brother's death. She's blaming Jesus for her situation. But after she blames Jesus, it's almost like she can't contain her heart. It's almost as if she can't help but to express her love and her faith in Christ, because after she says, Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died, she says, but I know that even now, anything you ask, the Father will give you. She says that. So she knows. What this shows me is that she knows exactly who Jesus is. Even though she was frustrated, she knows who Jesus is. And in our own life, sometimes when we're going through something difficult, we're frustrated with God. We're frustrated with Jesus. But there are still times where we're frustrated with what he's doing. It's not that we lose our faith. It's not that we don't believe God has the power to move mountains. It's not that we don't have the faith that God can do what we are asking for. But sometimes when it seems like God is taking so long, we know who he is, but we just look at him and think, what in the world are you doing? What in the world are you doing? Have you ever been there? God, what in the world are you doing? I got three kids. They're all genetically superior. They've got my genes, you know what I mean? They're all beautiful. And so I got two girls and one boy, Brianna Grace, Sadie Kate, and Lawson Cruz. And Sadie Kate, she's my middle child. Bless her heart. She's so special. All of my kids are special, really. But how many of y'all know Sadie Kate? You never know what that girl's going to say. You never know what that girl's going to do. And so I remember actually, it was while Amanda was out of town this past week. Y'all prayed for me. Thank you. Anyway, so I'm walking down the hallway, and out of my peripheral vision, I see something odd, you know what I mean? I see something odd, and so I kind of back up a little bit, and I look into Sadie Kate's room, and I look over at Sadie Kate, and you know what she's doing? She's like, yeah, she's there, and the TV's not on, the music's not on, she's getting it, girl. I'm just kind of, come on, you ever look at your kids like that? That ain't my kid, that's Amanda's kid. What is she doing? So I'm looking at her like, what in the world? And so I say, Sadie Kate, what are you doing? She stops. And she goes right back at it. She's getting it. And so I'm like, man, what in the world? But come on, have you ever been living your life, man, and you look up at God in heaven, and you look up at Jesus, you look up at heaven, and you're like, what in the world are you doing? And you just feel like they're up there. What are you doing, God? I don't know. You're like, man, you know who God is, but you wonder, what in the world are you doing? I've been there. I don't know if you've ever thought that, but I can't help but think that if we were all to be honest this morning, we'd have to admit that we've had moments where we looked at God. What are you doing? God, I know who you are, but what are you doing? Sadie Kate, 7. I've had her for guess how many years? 7 years. You guys are smart. Just wanted to make sure. I know who she is. Sometimes I just don't know what she's doing, and that's how we are with God. Man, Mary and Martha, they look at God. They look at Jesus. I know who you are, but what are you doing? Why didn't you come? They felt unheard. They felt unloved. They felt unwanted. They were lonely, and it was a dark place when you feel like God's not paying attention to you. And see, Martha, again, she thought Jesus wasn't listening. She thought, man, Jesus, I sent messengers to tell you about Lazarus, but you stayed gone. You stayed away. But Jesus wasn't doing that. Jesus didn't stay away because he was trying to ignore Martha. He didn't stay away because he didn't care. Jesus, in his mind, already had a plan that he wanted to do something bigger and better than just heal Lazarus of some sickness. Jesus wanted to raise Lazarus from the dead. And I'm here to tell somebody this morning, man, you feel right now like God is not listening to you. You feel like God is ignoring you. But I'm here to tell you that just because you don't feel like he's listening doesn't mean that he's not listening. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't have something big planned for your life. You need to know that God loves you more than anything. That's why he came to Calvary's cross. That's why he came to this earth, was to give his life for you so that you could have a relationship with him. And he's got something bigger planned for your life than you can imagine. The Bible says he's got plans for us, plans to prosper us and not harm us, plans to give us a future and a hope. If you feel like you don't have hope right now, you need to know it's Sunday, amen, and God is alive. He's the resurrection and the life. He's got big plans for you. And so if you want to experience change, you got to trust God. You got to trust God. The next thing I want you to see today, if you're keeping notes and you want to write it down, not only do you have to trust God if you want to experience change, but you got to open your eyes. Man, you got to open your eyes. Mary, Martha's sister, she comes to Jesus with the same accusation. Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And you know what Jesus says? Jesus looks at this sister, this woman. And he says, show me where you laid him. Show me where you've laid him. Take me to the tomb. And Mary, I know she's got to be thinking, what in the world is, what's wrong with Jesus? Jesus, you don't want to go see Lazarus right now. You don't want to go see him. He stinks. Everybody say musty. He musty. He's been in the grave for 4 days. Jesus, you don't want to be there. Jesus, you don't want to see him right now. He's been in the grave for 4 days, man. Rigor mortis has set in. His face is swollen. There have been flies that have landed all over him and laid eggs, and bacteria is growing. Maggots are there eating him. You don't want to see him. You don't want to go there. And Jesus says, that's exactly where I want to go. That's exactly where I want to go. Please don't miss this. Sometimes in our life, you and I have some stinky places. We got some messy places, some ugly places that we try to hide from everybody. We try to hide from God, and we think God doesn't want to go there because of my past. God doesn't want to go there. God doesn't want to go to that place. But I'm here to tell you this morning that that's exactly where God wants to go. And if you want to experience change, you've got to take him to the dead place in your life, because he is, again, the resurrection and the life. You need to see what Jesus says in verse 40. He says, did I not tell you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? Jesus is basically saying, did I not tell you that I am up to something big? I'm up to something great. Jesus is saying, you've got to open your eyes in this situation to see that I have something big planned for you. Mary's problem was that she couldn't see Jesus and see how good Jesus was because she couldn't get her eyes off her problems. She wanted to tell God how bad things are, but Jesus is trying to say, look, I need you to see how good I am. Open your eyes and take me to that place where you think there's no hope. Take me to that place where you think is dead. I want you to see again how good I am. Open your eyes. Mary is standing in the, she's standing in the presence of the answer to all of her problems and all of her troubles, but she almost misses it. Jesus says, open your eyes. See, I know that in life, there are times when we go through very difficult things. You might be here this morning and you're just going through a tough time. Man, you're worried, you're frustrated, you can't sleep. I don't want to minimize any of your problems, but I am here to tell you, listen to me, if Jesus Christ can defeat death, if Jesus Christ can defeat the grave, if Jesus Christ can defeat Satan, there is nothing in this world that God can't help you with. I'm telling you, man, 2,000 years ago, Jesus pulled the ultimate fool's prank, amen? The devil thought he won. He laughed about it, but Jesus rose up and throat punched the devil and said, I'm alive! He's here! He's the resurrection and the life. Jesus is bigger than whatever you are facing, but you've got to open your eyes. You've got to open your eyes and see again that God has a plan, that God wants to bring change, that God is working on something big. You need to understand, man, he loves you. He loves you. He had a plan for Lazarus. And again, it wasn't to heal him of a sickness. It was to raise him from the dead, to completely transform his situation. And again, that's what God wants to do for each and every one of us, to transform our life, to transform our situation. We've got to trust God and open our eyes to him. And finally, the last thing that I want you to see, if you really want to experience change, the kind of change that God has for you, not only do you have to trust God, not only do you have to open your eyes, but you've got to participate. Come on, how many of y'all know some lazy people? Ooh, don't point if they're sitting next to you, right? Some people, I can't get to do nothing. God wants us to participate. What's interesting in John chapter 11 is that Jesus does all the heavy lifting. Jesus does what only he can do, but there are still some things he expects people in the story to participate in. What's the first thing Jesus told them to do? Jesus told them to remove the stone, right? He said, remove the stone. And when I read that passage, I can't help but think, man, Jesus, you could have really shown your power at the very get-go. And so you see that stone over there? Whoop! Move your finger and that stone rolled and maybe hit somebody that they didn't like. I don't know. That's what I would have done. But anyway, but I mean, he had an opportunity, man, to really just throw that stone out of the way just by twinkling his nose or something like. But Jesus, again, he didn't do that. Jesus is saying, I'm going to do what only I can do, but there are still some things you need to do. Now, let me ask you, would it have been hard for them to remove that stone? Absolutely. Because stones were put over tombs, and when they were put there, they were made in such a way that it would be extremely difficult to remove that stone again. So it would have been difficult, but Jesus said, yeah, I know it's hard, but I need you to remove the stone. And what that tells me is that sometimes in our life, when we really want to experience change, some of the stuff that God tells us we're going to have to do, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But he says, you do what you can do, and I'll do what only I can do. Jesus says, move the stone. Move the stone that is over that dead thing. And again, sometimes in our life, we think God doesn't see all the areas of our life. And so we think we've got them hidden. We think we've got them covered up with stones. We try to cover up our bitterness and cover up our anger and cover up some unforgiveness that we have with people. And what God would say to you and say to me this morning is remove the stone. Take me to that dead place. Take me to that ugly place again so that I can do something big. I want to resurrect that area of your life, but I won't be able to do it unless you move that stone. You have a role to play in this change that God wants to bring into your life. See, I'm almost done. I'm wrapping up. But the very last thing that Jesus says for these individuals to do, after the stone's been rolled away, Jesus looks into that tomb and he says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And again, I'm looking at this story thinking, why in the world would Jesus do that? Why in the world didn't Jesus just have Lazarus float out of the tomb and write to Jesus? Because Lazarus at this point, what's wrong with Lazarus? He's been dead for 4 days, but before he was placed in a tomb, what'd they do? They wrapped him up like a mummy. Huh? Can you imagine Lazarus trying to get to Jesus? Can you imagine that? See, there are times when I read the Bible and I see that people ran to Jesus. There are times in the Bible when I read and people walk to Jesus. There are times in the Bible where people crawl to Jesus. But I also see times in the Bible where people limped to Jesus, where they did whatever they could just to get to him. And maybe you're here today and life's beat you down. You feel so betrayed by people. You feel so beat up. You feel so defeated, but you're here this morning. I'm telling you, whatever it takes to get to Jesus, that's what you've got to do. If you want to experience change, you've got to get to Christ, because Christ is the resurrection. He is the life. And today I believe he's calling some of you to come forth, to give your heart to him, to give your life to him. He wants to transform situations today. Trust God. Open your eyes and participate in what God has for you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I can't help but think again that there's some people here today, and coming to church wasn't something that you really wanted to do. Maybe you think, oh, this is just weird. Maybe you feel that way because life's been hard for you. Life's been difficult. And you think you just showed up because somebody invited you. You think you showed up because somebody drug you here. Well, I want you to know that that's not the case. You're here because God brought you here. You are here because God is calling you to come forth. He's calling you to come to him. And so if you're here today and you know you want to come to Jesus, not just to church, you want to come to Christ. You want to experience this change, this radical change that God has for you. If you'd say today, I need to surrender to him, I'm going to ask that right where you are, you pray this prayer. Father, today, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for Christ proving his love to me by dying for my sins. I accept today the payment that was necessary so that I could be made right with you. And I pray that you would make me into a new person today, that you would change me from the inside out, that you would change me in such a way that everyone who comes into contact with me knows that I'm different and knows that you're alive because you live in my heart. Thank you for saving me. As we continue to pray, again, nobody's looking around, every head bowed and every eye closed, but I wonder today if there's someone in the room and you prayed that prayer. You prayed the prayer to receive Jesus as your Savior. It's something to be excited about. And so if you prayed that prayer today, again, nobody's looking around, but this is just for me. I'm going to ask if you prayed that prayer that you just lift your hand so that I can know, so that you can tell others. You can start by telling me, amen, 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 amen. 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 A lot of hands. Father, thank you for saving people today. Thank you for changing people today. Father, I pray that you continue to do that you would continue to change each and every one of us. Father, we want to be good representations of you and your love here on earth. And so I pray that you again would transform us. Thank you that you are risen. Thank you that you are alive. We give you praise in Christ's name.
We'd like to thank you for listening and encourage you to visit our website at www.elevatechurch.ms so you can learn more about being blessed and blessing others at Elevate Church.